So I've been thinking over the last few weeks of our role of the church. What is it that God has gathered us together to do? He's calling together a people, and he's been doing it since the Lord Jesus was at work, calling people to follow him. And he has a purpose for us. And so I've been thinking over the last few weeks about what is that purpose that God wants? What is he creating us to be? And so we've been looking at three so far. Here's our fourth today. First one was that we are worshippers. We are brothers and sisters. And then last week we were looking at we are intercessors. And we are learners today. And as we look at these different things, we're saying there's a need to sort of make them link and make the balance between them. So if we just have the one thing and we neglect other things in the church, then we're not going to be at the purpose that he intends us to be as his people. And so we're trying to sort of make sure they're balanced and things like that. If you've missed any of those ones, you can catch them up on the website and things like that as well. And so as we think about being learners, first thing perhaps we can notice in those verses we were reading in Acts is that there's different ways to learn. In Acts chapter 2, we were reading about the early church. Then those who gladly received Peter's word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. There's lots of things linked together there, isn't it? They're meeting together under the apostles' doctrine. That's another word for teaching. There's fellowship, there's breaking bread, there's communion, there's prayer and so on. So all these things are linked together there in the life of the early church as well. And we read in verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And so the early church, we notice in verse 46, were meeting daily. Perhaps that sounds a little extraordinary to us. And it might be worthwhile remembering that the things we have in the book of Acts are descriptions for us, not necessarily commands. And there's a difference between those things. Why were they meeting every day? And we might then follow on with that. And why aren't we meeting every day? Well, one of the reasons perhaps was because they didn't have their own copy of the Bible. That would have been far too expensive, far too bulky. You would have needed a trailer to carry it around with you in huge scrolls. And so they didn't have that. In the temple, there would have been copies of the Old Testament books, and in lots of the synagogues and so on. That would have been read on the Sabbath and things like that when the Jews met. And as the Christians started to meet, obviously they did link in quite a lot with synagogues, especially in the first place, until they were kicked out. But they tried to keep coming back to those places where there were the Old Testament scriptures all written down. And so one of the reasons perhaps the church met so frequently in those early days was there was such a lot to learn. These were people who'd been just come to know the Lord Jesus. They'd been Jews, most of them, up until this point. And there was lots they needed to learn quite quickly, really. And so we're told, verse 42, that they were steadfastly listening to the apostles' doctrine. So those disciples, those apostles of the Lord Jesus, they'd been learners of Jesus, and now they were ever so quickly promoted to being teachers. Now that Jesus had ascended and gone into heaven, he poured out his Holy Spirit and sent them to be apostles and teach all of those things that Jesus had done. And that's what the Holy Spirit was going to do. Remind them of all the things that Jesus had said and done, so they could then pass those on to the next generation and so on. So that's why they were there meeting. There was no New Testament yet. Over the course of the years that would follow, the Gospels would be written, the New Testament letters would be written, and they'd be passed around the churches. But still it was quite common for there only to be one of those things in the church, not everyone having their own copy of God's word. They would have had to share them. And so it was a very different circumstance they were meeting in there. And although we might not meet every day, are we learning every day? Just as we were thinking there in that little children's song, read the Bible every day. Do you want to hear God speak? Well, we can hear it through his word. What would these people have done had you turned up in the temple with a box full of Bibles? New Testaments that they could have read, they would have been over the moon. They wouldn't even have begun to understand how you could have, they couldn't even imagine how the printing press would have been able to quite quickly and cheaply produce such things. But we have it, don't we? We have God's words. They would have given everything for it. They were meeting every day so they could just hear a tiny bit of it. And we've got it. We've got it in our own homes. Are we learning every day? And it's so important for us to do that, isn't it? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. We'd never go a day without eating, and we shouldn't go a day without trying to listen to Jesus in his words. So are we learning every day? But we're especially thinking as a church about the special blessing there is in learning together. It's quite similar to last week in some ways. We said we can pray anytime, anywhere. But there's a special blessing when we pray together as a church. And the same in learning. Of course we can learn from God with our own Bibles. But there's a special blessing when two or three are gathered together. He's promised to be there in the midst and through the preaching of his word. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays, I pray that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, this love that surpasses knowledge. So Paul prays that they might understand something of the love of Christ, and he prays that they would do it together with all the saints. Because together with all the saints, that's where we learn most. That's where God has promised to bless us especially when we meet together to learn. You might be glad I'm not proposing we do meet every day, but it seems perhaps to make sense in our setup to be meeting like we do twice on a Sunday, because that's the Lord's Day. A day when most of us don't have to work and we can take a rest from our paid employment and have a day focused on God. And so we top and tail it at the start and the end of the day to spend time meeting with God and learning from him. And then perhaps it makes sense then to meet halfway through the week. Thursday seems a good enough slot for us. Maybe it could be a different day to meet and to pause from the other things of the world, to meet with God's people, to come and pray and come and learn. We're learners of the Lord Jesus. And we're here to take every opportunity we can to meet together and learn. Thinking again of the early church and the different ways they learnt. In those verses we were just reading, it tells us, doesn't it, in verse 46, that continuing daily in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So even there they've got these two different ways they perhaps might have done it. They met all together in big public groups, and they met in smaller contexts too. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 18, we read of Paul going to Ephesus. Incidentally, it was the passage we were doing on Tuesday at a boys' brigade. And Paul, while he was there in Ephesus, he taught publicly in a lecture hall, it seems, and went house to house teaching too. So there's different styles and settings to it as well, isn't it? And we think about the Lord Jesus, the greatest teacher. He taught in different ways, didn't he? Different scales. The Sermon on the Mount, preached to hundreds of people. And then sometimes he just talked to his disciples in the upper room. Or he'd go to somebody's house, like Mary and Martha's, and just talk to the few people who were there. And so it was. We can meet together. The people in the early church, there was probably 3,000 or more of them listening there in the temple courts. That probably was the only place that was feasible to accommodate such a huge number of people in Jerusalem. And other times they met and went into people's houses and things like that. And perhaps sometimes there's things that are easier to learn in a big group. And perhaps sometimes when we're just two or three. And Jesus taught in different ways, didn't he? As we said, Jesus preached a whole Sermon on the Mount. An extended monologue, just him talking. And yet other times, he asked people questions. Someone came to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he didn't give a sermon. He asked, what do you read in God's word? And so perhaps there can be times sometimes, sort of question and answers and that sort of thing, to get to the bottom of God's word and to learn more. There's different ways to learn. And the Bible's full of such variety, isn't it? There's all sorts of different things we discover in God's word. There's the letters of Paul and the parables of Jesus, and they're very different. And perhaps we learn in different ways through different things. We've got the exciting narratives in the Old Testament of people like Gideon and David. And we've got prophecies like Isaiah and Amos and the rest and so on. The Bible's full of variety. Jesus taught with variety. And learning's meant to be different. There's different purposes too, isn't there, in God's word. A well-known verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this: "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." The Bible's full of different sort of things. It's there for different purposes. It's all God-breathed. It's all useful. But maybe it has different uses and different things it's trying to teach us. Sometimes it's a rebuke. It's like discipline from a loving parent. Not pleasant at the time, but necessary. Sometimes there's encouragements that are a cheerful pat on the back, full of hope and joy. Sometimes it's a training exercise in righteousness. And we feel a bit tired out, like we've had a workout, because we've had to think so hard about different things. Teaching has those different purposes. God's word is there in all of these different ways. In Hebrews it tells us, don't give up meeting together. Make it a priority, because we're learners of Jesus. We mentioned before Mary and Martha, and that time when Jesus went to their house and taught them there in their house. And Martha was busy, busy, busy doing lots of things. And what did Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet, listening and learning. And in the end, Martha storms in, doesn't she? And tells Jesus off to tell Mary off. And Jesus says, "You're busy with many things, but one thing is the best. Mary's chosen the best, and it won't be taken away from her." Do we choose the best? We can be busy with many things in our lives, but do we prioritize the best thing? To sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. To listen to his voice. Well, let's pause and sing another hymn. It's a hymn that helps us to pray and to ask God to bless us and speak to us. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. Please take a seat. We're going to come and pray again, and then we'll consider a bit more on that topic. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we do pray that you would speak to us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is that living breath that you've spoken to us. We thank you that it's God-breathed, that it's useful. And we pray that you might let it have its purpose in us. Lord, that you might fulfill those purposes of your word, we pray. And teach us, we ask. Lord, we pray that we would be learners of the Lord Jesus, that we would prioritise that thing that matters most. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless us, and Lord, that you would bless the meetings of the church. Bless us this evening as we meet around the Lord's table and around your words. Bless us on our Thursday Bible studies, we ask, and teach us from your word. We pray you'd help us every day to be learning from you. And we pray that your word would go out, we pray. We pray for the boys and girls in their brigades when we have opportunity to open your words. We pray for the school assemblies. Lord, we pray that we might have opportunity in our families to teach our children. We pray that you might help us to share your word with those around us, we ask as well. For Lord, we thank you that you speak through your word. And so Lord, we do pray that you would use it. And Lord, that you would soften people's hearts. And Lord, you would soften our hearts that we may listen to you, we pray, and learn of you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a couple of more things to consider as we think about being learners. A couple of practical things. How that's going to work. First of all then, we're learners who listen. That's how it starts, isn't it? We've got to be those who listen. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this: we should pray that God would raise up faithful preachers of his words. That's a good prayer. We should also be praying that God would raise up good listeners of his words too. Jesus once spoke to a crowd and said to them, "What did you go out in the desert to see? A reed blown by the wind? A man dressed in fine clothes? What did you go in the desert to see? A prophet." What was a prophet? Somebody who spoke God's word. Why did we come here this morning? Did we come to hear God's word? Did we come with that kind of prayer on our lips? Speak, Lord, to me. Did you pray for me? I hope you did. I'd love it if you did. I'm in need of your prayers. Did you pray for yourselves? Lord, make us good listeners of you. We need to pray, don't we? In a hymn, it says this: "O speak and make me listen, O guardian of my soul." Do we come praying, wanting to be like Mary, sit at the feet of Jesus? And do we do whatever it takes to be listeners? Do you have an early night on a Saturday? Do you get yourself up with a strong cup of coffee? A wash with cold water to come and listen? We haven't come to have a doze or have a daydream. Are we listening to Jesus? Jeremiah Burroughs was a Christian who lived a very long time ago. And he said this: "In the hearing of God's words, we profess our utter dependence on him. We want to know his mind. We want to know the way to eternal life. And so we come and worship God and sit at his feet and profess our dependence on him as we listen." Listening to God. And so then, what's that process we're going to try and do as we hear God's word? We're going to listen. And then, secondly, we're going to engage. So a bit more than just listening. The words have gone in. And then hopefully the cogs are going to work. We're going to process it. We're going to engage with it. Alert and prayerful, expecting to hear God's voice. And then we're going to get our minds to work on the things we're hearing. That's the next bit of the process, isn't it? And the New Testament letters are full of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 15, Paul says this: "I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say." He says, I'm speaking, and now I want you to be considering it and judging it and thinking it through what I've been saying. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7, he writes to Timothy, "Reflect on what I'm saying, and the Lord will give you insight into all this." That's the next part of the process. Hearing it, and then processing it, reflecting on it, and thinking more about it. Letting those cogs whir, letting God's words come right there into our minds and our brains, and thinking it through with every ounce of ability that we've got. You might remember the story of the Bereans in the book of Acts. And these were probably Jews in the first instance. And Paul and Silas came preaching to them in Acts 17 verse 10. And they went to the synagogue of the Jews. And the people there were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. Then many of them believed. That's the process. They heard the things that Paul and Silas were saying, and they listened, and they were fair-minded. They were open-minded. They were thinking about these things. And then they received the word and took it in, and then studied their Old Testament to see if it was true. Was Paul and Silas teaching the truth? Was it really God's word, or was it an error? They might have thought to themselves, cool, I've never heard anything like this before, so we better be quite careful, and we better make sure it's the truth. And so they searched and studied the scriptures. And that's all we need to do, isn't it? We don't need to just take everything we hear from someone who says they're a Christian and are preaching the Bible. We need to listen to it carefully. Even when I'm preaching or Tim's preaching, don't just take our word for it. We're human. We make mistakes. We're learners too of God's word. Do we look it through? Are we careful? Are we considering those things? Is it God's word? Is it what God is saying? What is God saying to us? What do you do after church? What do you do around the Sunday dining table? What do you do on Monday morning? When you're having your quiet time, when you're driving to work? Do you reflect on what you are hearing and consider things? Do you study it more? Look up other bits of the Bible? Think more about that topic? What was God saying to you in those things? And that then leads us on, doesn't it, to our next thing. We want to be those who listen to God's word, who engage with it and study it and really take it there into our minds and think it through. And then we want to be listeners who obey. That's the next step in the process, isn't it? In Psalm 32, we have a rather humorous description that is given to us in God's word. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule who have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit or bridle, or they will not come near you. God says, I'll teach you. He then says in the next verse, don't be like the donkey. And sometimes we can do that. We can listen to God and then be like a donkey and not obey. Imagine you visit a friend in another part of the country, and you meet them for lunch, and then they take you out for a walk, and you don't know the local area, but they do. And you're walking along with a friend, and you come to a fork in the path, and they say, oh, we should go this way. And you say, no, 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 we're going to go this way. And I tell you, but you don't know the path. Yes, I know, but I do know deep down I should go that. Do we follow their advice because they know best? Some people are easily led, we say, and some people are stubborn as mules. Maybe you know which one you're more likely to be. And yet we can be like that, can't we? And God says that in that psalm. I'm going to teach you. Now, don't be a donkey. God sometimes perhaps is like that. He's hauling on the bit and bridle, dangling the carrot in front of us of his promises, using the rod of discipline, and we just won't budge like a donkey. Are we those who are learners who obey. That's what the psalmist says. Don't be like the stubborn horse or the mule. Listen and learn, study and consider, and obey what God says. And so there's so many prayers in God's word, not just to be taught, but also to ask God's help in obeying. Psalm 25, verse 4, lead me in your truth and teach me. Psalm 27, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me. Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Is that our prayer? Teach me, Lord, and help me follow. Help me obey. Help me walk in your ways. Search me and know my heart, says the psalmist. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Is that our prayer on a Sunday morning? To be taught by God and helped by him to follow and obey. There's that well-known verse, isn't there, in James, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of it. Like the famous parable of the wise and foolish builders. The wise builder is someone who hears my words and does them, says Jesus. Do we come on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, do we come to the Bible study on Thursday to be learners? Expecting God to speak, because he's promised to. Eagerly waiting for his voice. Ready, alert and listening. And ready to do something. Do we expect to be changed? Do we expect to have something to put into practice? Something to prayerfully ask God's help about? Do we expect to be more like Christ on a Monday morning after a Sunday of learning than we were on the Saturday? Does that make sense? Do we expect to have changed today as we've learned from God's word? Let's finish where we started, back in those verses of Matthew chapter 11. Because the most important thing, just as we come to an end, is to think about what it is we're going to learn. In Matthew 11, Jill read these words, and it finished with this in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We've been thinking this morning about being learners, about wanting to listen, wanting to engage, wanting to obey. And then we need to remember, don't we, what it is we're learning. Especially perhaps the youngsters and the children and the teenagers. You spend most of your days learning. Tomorrow morning, someone will stand up and tell you you've got something to learn. And it might be some very boring French or some very complicated math or whatever it might be. What are we here to learn? We're here to learn of Christ. And so it's not like school. It's not like we're sitting down learning some chemistry or learning some history or whatever it was or whatever you didn't like at school. We're learning of Christ. That's what he said in those verses. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's what we're here. We're not here to learn some boring facts. Sometimes, yes, we'll discover things in the Bible that are challenging and difficult, but it isn't a burden. It isn't there to weigh us down and oppress us and think, oh, what a lot of stuff and how difficult this all is. It should be a joy to be learners of Jesus. Come to me, said Jesus. Learn from me. He's the one we're learning about. He's the one we're listening to. the best teacher in all the world. And he said, come and learn of me, and I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. In learning from Christ, we'll find blessing. Not a pile of stuff we've got to memorize for a GCSE. It's not like school. We come and learn of Christ and find rest and find blessing. We find eternal life. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If we put more effort and energy into being learners and listeners and obeyers of God's word, we'll be richly rewarded, says Jesus. It'll be liberating. It'll bring us happiness and blessing to be a learner of me, says Jesus. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God make us better learners of his words. Let's sing our last hymn. Afterwards we've got some refreshments. Let's finish it with our last hymn. God has spoken by his prophets, spoken his unchanging word. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we do thank you for your word, and we pray you'd help us to be learners of Jesus. Lord, we pray you'd help us to come to his feet. Lord, we pray you'd help us to listen and engage and to think with our minds and to seek to obey you. And Lord, we thank you that in following Jesus and learning of him, we find rest for our souls and that burden that is easy and light. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless us, we ask. Lord, as we seek to learn of you and follow you, Lord, may you change us. And Lord, may you bless us, we pray, and help us to follow you, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.